2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read to you our text that we've been looking at over the last several weeks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you should have this in your heart, in your mind, for the Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Can I say that applies to women as well, to be found faithful? In 2 Timothy, Paul is closing this letter. It's the last letter, the last epistle that he wrote to anyone. He wrote it to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he didn't write it to a church, but to this individual man. And he says, in a way of charging Timothy, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, but shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We've looked at the privilege of stewardship. God has called us. He's cared for us, and he has commanded us to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. We've looked at the fact that there's going to be a price of this stewardship. It's going to cost some things. It's going to cost our time. It's going to cost our talents. It's going to cost our treasures. Last week, we looked at the plan of this stewardship. How are we going to do this? We talked about being strengthened in the Lord, in the Word of God. We talked about the responsibility of sowing and reaping in that acronym, serving others while reaching every available person, is what we are to be doing, and then seeking to be a blessing. In this aspect here, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am mindful of Paul stating at the end of his life. Now, we're not exactly sure how long of the period of time from the time that he wrote this to the time that he was executed. But he knew enough to write in verse number 6 by saying, "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." But in verse number 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Verse number 8, look at this. He says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Notice that crown of righteousness. I want to preach this last part of this series on stewardship on the personal blessings that are involved in stewardship. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we come to you. We ask that you would help us with this tonight. For Father, we need you. We long for you. And God, we know that we have nothing in this life without it first coming across your desk for approval. Whether it be a heartache, whether it be turmoil, God, it doesn't catch you off guard. It doesn't catch you off by surprise. It certainly does us from time to time. But God, your word tells us that it is required. It's mandatory. It's necessary that we be found faithful. And God, I'd ask tonight that you'd help me convey this thought of the wonderful blessings that come in our lives by being faithful. And God, I pray that you would just help us in this matter. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. There's much to be said about blessings. Again, we have, all kinds of blessings. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And I can't help but think that in this, and I want to stress this in much earnest here tonight. We're to serve the Lord because He's called us to serve Him. We are to answer that call, as we talked about, it is a privilege to be called upon by God. And in that privilege, as He cares for us along the way, but He has commanded us that we're to do this. That ought to be enough that compels us. Let me say it that way. That ought to be enough to compel us to serve God. That in and of itself, the fact that God has required of us and tells us and commands us, that ought to be enough. Amen? You know, when we have children, we expect our children to do what they're told. Amen? Now, we know we're realistic as parents that our children don't always do what they're told. Amen? They just don't. And I think God knows that we don't always do as we're told, but I will tell you that in being raised, in doing what I was told, I found many, many blessings. And then at times when I did not do what I was told, oh, we won't even go there. The number of times that that happened, and the consequences and the results of what happened when I did not do what I was told to do. And the same thing in your life. Now, I am grateful. I often, sometimes when we're together having family reunions or we get together with family, and I don't know if y'all do this or not, but sometimes the past gets brought up. Does that happen when y'all get together with your family? Amen? Okay, good. I'm glad Scott's with me. But sometimes these things come out. And occasionally something will come up and we'll start telling a story, we'll start talking about something, and my mother will say, "I didn't know you did that. I didn't know that." And I'm like, "Oh, thought you knew." And usually it's some bonehead thing that I did or something like that, and we'll go through, but she'll say that often. "I didn't know you did that." And I said, "Mom, there's plenty you don't know, and you're not going to know, because I still have a natural fear of you and don't want to disappoint you, and there are things that I've done in my life that would disappoint my mother, and so have you. We're in good company." Amen. What are you laughing for? Maybe we need to talk after church. Here are the facts, though. While my mother may not know everything I've ever done, nor will she ever know everything I've ever done, God does. I know y'all said amen there. I don't want to say amen there. I want to say oh me. God knows everything that I've ever done. I can hide it from my mother, I can hide it from my wife, I can hide it from my children, I can hide it from you, but I can't hide it from God. And you can't either. But we have this privilege. We have this price that we've talked about. It's going to cost something to serve the Lord. It ought to cost something to serve the Lord. But really, when we, if you will just think about this, when we talk about it's the cost. Now look, I know everyone in this room, and I know everyone in this room has limited resources. Amen? Amen. We all have limited resources. There are some things that you and I cannot buy. Amen? There are some things that we will go into the store and we'll say, man, I'd like to have that. Inevitably, every time we'll go window shopping. We're not really buying necessarily. Rachel will say, oh, I like that. And then I look at that's the first thing I do is look at the price tag. Right, Brother Don? Look at the price tag and I say, no wonder you like it. She has expensive taste, I'll tell you. She doesn't always get the expensive taste stuff, but I try to find a knockoff. Amen? But sometimes it may not be a matter of saying, you know what? There are some things that we say, I can't afford that. Then there are other things that we say, I'm not willing to pay what they're asking. There's a difference, isn't there? Amen. If you've ever been out to eat with Brother Scott, occasionally he'll ask, what are some of the things you ask? Free refills? Or do you charge? Sometimes he'll just say, do you charge for this? And if they say, well, yeah, it's 30 cents, he'll say no. Oh, Cherry Coke. Can you make me a Cherry Coke? Well, it's 15 cents extra, sir. Oh, no, thank you. And it's not that he can't afford the 15 cents, is it? Exactly. But he's not willing to pay it. There's a difference. Now look, there is a cost to serving God. But sometimes we take a step back and we say, I'm not willing to pay what it cost. It's not that we can't afford it. It's not that we can't do it. It's not that we, it's just way beyond our ability. It all comes down to the fact that we're just not willing to pay the price. When we discussed the plan, the only way we're going to be strengthened is in the Word of God. I use this often, I think. I hope I do anyway, but Brother Matt was talking this morning about being saved as children. I tried to look. I've asked the same question before, but let me just get a show of hands again. How many of you were saved as children? All right, now, those of you that were saved as children, you can put your hands down. Those of you that were saved as adults, raise your hand. All right, very good. Awesome. Now, let me ask you this, because I think I know most of your all's testimonies. Whether you were saved as a child or whether you were saved into adulthood, how many of you know more today about salvation than you did the day you got saved? You know more about it. You understand it more. You get it. Thank you very much. Well, how did that happen? You were strengthened in that. You see, you ought to have more faith today than the day you got saved. Now, that's not always the case. I know that. I realize that. There are people that struggle in the fact that, am I saved? Am I really saved? I had a friend of mine call me last night, and he said, hey, I've got a real deep theological question for you. I said, okay, go for it. And he asked this. He said, can someone who's intoxicated get saved? While they're intoxicated? I just went with this, Brother Don. I said, I'm not sure the Bible deals with that. I don't know. But I do know this. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Because the Bible strengthens us in what we know. And if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to be strengthened. But here are the facts as well. When we consider that we are saved, when we consider that God has given to us something, and He has called us, and He has cared for us, and He has commanded us to give this thing, to sow it out there, to reap the fruit of it, to seek others in need of what we have. Sometimes we get selfish with what we have, don't you? I know I do. Sometimes I don't want to give away a bottle of water. Sometimes I don't want to, Brother Don. I'm selfish in that way. But you know what the Bible says? If a brother have need and they ask and you can meet that need, what are we supposed to do? Give it. But sometimes we get to the thing and we say, well, I'm going to use the bottle of water, continue. It's my last bottle of water. I'll give you my last bottle of water, Jerry. He says, my last one. How many of you are giving your last bottle of water away to charity? That's less than 25%. No, I'm kidding. Alexis will, though. Last drop, Justin. He's finally raised his hand. Yes. Hold on. Can I just tell her, go get it out of the sink? No. Sorry. Hold on a second. Now, we're talking about things that are limited. Okay? I mean, we talk about this, and I know we joke about it a little bit, but we're talking about something that I want, I have, someone else has a need, or a want, or a desire, and I can help meet that. But it's my last one. Do I really want to do that? Do I really want to pay that price? Now, I understand we're talking limited things here, okay? If somebody comes and says, hey, I need $20, and I have $20 in my pocket, and, you know, oh, well, okay, you have that need. That's my last $20. Sometimes we might stop and we might think, man, it's my last $20. And we may say, all I have is supposed to last me till payday, and no, I can't have that. Now, let's flip this here and go a little bit more spiritual. Who did Jesus die for? The world. So it wasn't just you, it wasn't just me, it wasn't just for these people in this room. So how many of you would agree that there's plenty of Jesus to go around? How many of you would disagree with that? Okay. So why are we so stingy? Consider this for a moment. Why are we have something that everyone needs. And I'm not talking about everyone wants, because not everyone wants Jesus. But we have something that everyone in the world needs. We have something that can solve every problem in life. And yet we sit on it like it's our last $20, like it's our last bottle of water, and they can't have it. Yeah. That is not what Jesus intended. That is not what God intended when he said, it is required that a man be found faithful, that a steward be found faithful. Now, I'm laboring this because I want you to see some of these things. Because I want to talk to you about the personal blessings involved, but I want you to understand that we ought not to do these things because there's personal blessings involved. We ought to do it because God's commanded us to do it. We ought to do it because there's a need that needs to be done, that needs to be met. Because without Christ, people are going to die and go to hell. There's a personal blessing, though, of faithfulness. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. There are personal blessings to faithfulness. First blessing that I take note of is that it strengthens our relationship with God. You and I have a relationship with God, and every relationship that's going to be strengthened in our life is going to require some faithfulness. No matter the relationship, whether it is a husband-wife relationship, whether it's a parent-child relationship, whether it is a church relationship, whether it is a business relationship, it all requires faithfulness. And in that, faithfulness is going to strengthen that relationship. It's no different with our relationship with God. It is required that a man be found faithful. And I don't know if you realize this, but a strong relationship with God is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. Second thing that the personal blessings of faithfulness is, we read here in 2 Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What's he saying here? Can we summarize this to say that Paul was faithful? Amen? That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, "I've fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. I've been faithful henceforth." He says, "Because of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Huh. Man, a crown of righteousness. I'll just, look, if we had to say if anybody got a crown of righteousness, it surely was the Apostle Paul. Amen. He got it because he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. Then he even says, who's giving it? He says, "It's the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." But notice what he says here, "But not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing." This crown of righteousness is not just something that's exclusive for the Apostle Paul. It's not exclusive for the disciples that walked with Jesus. It's not exclusive for anyone. It is for anyone that loves his appearing, that is faithful in this thing, that God might say, "Enter in, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Enter in." Do you know there are personal blessings of faithfulness and there are personal blessings of giving? The very fact that Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to get than to give." Well, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let me ask something. Are you a giver or a taker? Are you a giver or a taker? Think on that for a moment. Is all you do is take, 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 and occasionally, depending on what it is, depending on what it costs, I'll give a little. We're not talking money here. While I think there are some blessings of giving money, Malachi does say he'll open the windows of heaven in financial giving. He'll open the windows of heaven. That does not guarantee a financial blessing, though. Amen. He just said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. And God wants to bless you. God wants to bless what is yours. But as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The joy of giving is a blessing. And I'll tell you, again, whenever we talk about giving, we stop and we think, I got to give something. I got to give money. Money, again, we all have limited resources. We know this. Well, what we have to give is not necessarily money. We have Jesus to give. We have answers to give. What are you giving? Or are you just keeping? Are you just stockpiling? Look, very rarely, I don't know that it's ever happened to me, per se. I've never had anyone, Brother Terry, come up to me and said, you have so much Jesus, can I have some? Now, I know what you're thinking. It's probably my fault. I probably ought to live more like Jesus. And if I lived more like Jesus, it might happen. I don't know. But I know this, I know that there have been people that I've gone up to and asked them, do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Do you know if you died today that heaven would be your home? Do you know that Jesus died to save you? And I've had some people say yes. But you know, I've had more people say no. You see, we have something to give. And I'll tell you, the Bible says, and get this, and I heard it even this morning, the Bible tells us that when one sinner cometh to repentance, what happens? The angels in heaven rejoice. Even the angels in heaven rejoice. You know what that means? We ought to rejoice too. Amen. I'm telling you. It is amazing to give Jesus. Here recently, Brother Scott and I got a phone call. I think it was the same day, maybe. He got it the day before me. But someone called and talked to both of us and said, hey, I just want to let you know. You'll remember this. I just want to let you know, I just bought some lottery tickets. It was when the Powerball was whatever it was, I don't even know. And they said, we thought of you. We already have our plan. Picking out a financial advisor. You get some, Brother Scott gets some, and we'll even give the church some. Amen. Now I know it's a shot in the dark, and you know, the moon has a bigger chance of falling. But if it happens, we'll remember you. Now, you know why somebody would call and say that? Because giving's fun. It is. But you know what? You can't give something you don't have. You can't give something away you don't have. And we have something that is so far greater than money. I mean, my goodness. We have Jesus. We have salvation. We have eternal life. And God said, give it away. And I'll tell you, it's not something that's ever going to run out. I know, I'll just tell you, your money will run out. It doesn't matter how much you have or how much you don't have. You can try to hold on to it. You can try to squeeze it. You can try to save it. You can try to invest it. And I'm telling you that it won't last. You will always need more. You'll always need more. How much is too much? You'll always need more. But I can tell you what you don't need more of necessarily is Jesus. You've got all you need. Amen. You've got all you need, and the Bible says there's blessings in giving. The biggest blessing you can never give away is the gift of Jesus. So I submit to you, number one, the blessings of faithfulness. Number two, the blessings of giving. Number three, the blessings of serving. The blessings of serving. Paul said, I fought the fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Everywhere Paul went, he served. Hey, let me go back and say this. Everywhere Jesus went, he served. Jesus came. Mark describes Jesus as a suffering servant. Picture in your mind with me, if you will, when Jesus came in and began washing the disciples' feet. Taking the basin and the water and pouring it on their feet and the towel and washing them off. Peter said, he got to Peter and Peter said, nuh-uh, not me. You're not washing my feet. No, sir. Jesus said to him, he said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. Anybody remember what Peter said? He said, yea, Lord. If that's the case, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands. Wash my head. He said, take all of me. See, we don't look at serving the way Jesus did. And this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the culture. I mean, we live in a culture. We don't have a lot of quote-unquote servants per se, but we do have people that serve. And for whatever reason, we look at them and we say, oh, lower class. We don't want to serve. You know, we walk by and there's a piece of paper on the floor and, well, somebody else will get it. Be too much to do that. We say this all the time. All the time. Well, it's not my job. Since when was serving not your job? Since when was serving not my job? I mean, we are here to serve. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says to serve one another. The last place we ought to have the attitude of, well, that's not my job, would be in church. That we might have the attitude to say, I won't do that because it's not my job. We ought to be looking for places to serve. Why? Because there's blessings in serving. I think, believe it or not, I think the biggest blessing in serving, and I know this is, it's really contrary, it's really weird, but you actually feel better about yourself. I know it doesn't make sense. You would think that watching out for you and being served would make you feel better about yourself. But it's just the opposite, which is one of the reasons why God says serve. Serve. Serve one another. Serve one another. Serve one another. Why? Because you're going to end up feeling better about yourself. There's some blessings there. Pretty sure the Bible says something about the servant being greater than the master. Hmm. There's personal blessings of stewardship. We have something that God has given us. It's enough to go around the world and keep going. And yet we're stingy with it. I just wonder, and I wonder not in your life, but I wonder in my life. And I feel as if I'm blessed. But I wonder, and I'm compelled to think, how many blessings have I missed because of my own stinginess? Because of my own lack of desire to serve or to give or to be faithful? Have I missed them? And again, our motive ought not to be to be blessed. Our motive ought to be because God said so. That ought to be enough to compel us to do what God's told us to do. But I'm telling you and I'm promising you that when we do what God has told us to do, there are blessings involved. We sing the song, Showers of Blessings. There are showers of blessings when we do what God has given us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask tonight by way of invitation, how's your stewardship? You say, well, that's not my job. It's not why I'm here. I'm here to be served.